This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. All right. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's see, by now your Bible ought to just be falling open to Matthew chapter 6, right? We still got a few more weeks to go in it, and Sunday, Lord willing, we'll talk about forgiveness. Which is really one of my favorite things to preach on. It just helps us a whole lot. We all got issues and things we need to deal with folks, and I think it'd be a blessing to you Sunday, so come on out. It's going to be good. All right, so let's talk about, this is be message number 8. Let's talk about daily bread. So we're teaching about the Lord's Prayer, and we just want to know what we're praying when we're saying these words, and not to just get into a rut and just do a quick recitation or something like that. We've got to know who we believe, and we've got to know what we believe in order to be effective. Faith is real important in prayer. So, and faith is tied to knowledge. Faith is not just a leap of faith. It's tied to knowledge, rooted in God and rooted in God's word. So, all right, so let's read this together. Can we do that? This prayer that Jesus gave us is just a real gift. It's a real treasure for us. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to stop. I just like to hear y'all saying that together. It's good stuff. All right, so now, in prayer, you know, we're not alone. We're not alone in this deal. Just kind of wrote this afternoon. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us. He'll teach us how to pray. He'll inspire us to pray. Help us get through the things we don't know about. Help us pray through the things we don't know about. We've got a rich history of teachings in the scriptures on prayer. Just a rich history to just kind of train us and disciple us and help us to pray. We've got a lot of prayers in the scriptures that have been handed down. And maybe some of your traditions and things like that, hand down prayers and things that are helpful. But especially the ones like the apostolic prayers, that's my favorite. You know, the letters of Paul and the prayers like Ephesians 1 and Colossians, he's got some powerful stuff there. All of those are part of our equipping to help us to be trained in prayer. And then we got believers to pray with. We got glimpses into some people's personal prayers. I mean, we actually have the prayer, like Daniel. There's a couple times where he prays, and we know what he prayed. And you get to kind of enter into that holy sanctum as that person is talking to God. That's the holy stuff, you know. And we even have a high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17. So we've got all of these things to help us in our developing of not just a prayer life, but a life of prayer. A life with God. So and the Psalms. I mean, we got a book of Psalms. It's nothing but prayers and songs. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven and hear David just play some of them things. You know, and I'll be able to understand him. I don't know Hebrew right this minute. I took my classes and did all my stuff, but I can't tell you anything. it's never mind. It's very difficult. Trust me on that deal. But I can't wait to hear what. You know, his story behind all of that and hear him pray those prayers. And the Psalms, I love to pray the Psalms. Anybody got some favorites in there? I love to pray the Psalms, and it's got some real good stuff there. So we're not alone in this whole journey with God. We're not just left to our own devices. And I encourage you to learn to pray the Scriptures. We'll do some teachings over the next few years about how to pray the Scriptures and looking through the Psalms. I did that a college class on that one year about praying the Psalms. And how it's just powerful. It just helped me. It blessed me. So we're not alone in this journey of prayer. So we've been picking up some words as we go along through all of this. We started with our Father who is in heaven. We talked about he's exalted and he's near, right? He is God Almighty, yes, but he's my daddy. He's my father. He's my Abba, right? Hallowed be your name. We talked about how that's a request for God's name to be honored and to be sacred and held in honor. And held in worship, and that his name be the honor of his name be the ultimate goal of our lives through our own conduct and through our communities as well. And then we got into your kingdom come. We spent a couple times on your kingdom come. We talked about the hope of the return of Christ, and we talked about us bringing our kingdom in humble submission underneath God's kingdom. Then this past couple weeks ago, we talked about your will be done. That's the purpose of prayer, is to see that God's will is done. Not just talked about, not just in a Bible study. See, Bible studies are to help us get to done, to get to doing, right? Too much just academic. But if faith is just academic, it's not really faith, is it? Faith's got to find action in order to be real faith, right? So we want to see God's will not just talked about, not just understood. We want to see it done. That's the purpose of prayer. And we're asking God to help us with that. We want to do what He wants us to do. And that's probably the most often asked question I have as a pastor. Lord, help me pray that God's will be done. And help me to find or discover what God's will is in this decision or my business or my career, college, whatever. And then we talked about the idea of partnership, partnering with God to get it done. Sunday was one of my favorites to teach on, which we'll spend a lot of time dealing with that in the future, on earth as it is in heaven. That's kind of the vision, to make our place look like God's place as best we can. And Jesus is going to come finish the project. He's going to finish it on earth as it is in heaven. This is kind of a hinge point in the prayer where we are right now. This is kind of a change. Notice the flow. Our Father, His name, His kingdom, His will. You know, we want Him honored. We want His kingdom to come. We want His will done. And that's all dealing with God and His stuff, right? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. If we seek these first, all of this gets taken care of. That's the flow of the prayer, right? You still need to talk to God about it. But the promise is, you take care of my business, God said, I'll take care of your business, right? There's the scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the things you're worried about in that passage, you can go read it, the context of it later. All these other things will be added to you. So now we're coming into this idea of dealing with our needs and talking to God about our needs. And it's important. God already knows what you need before you even ask, but He wants to talk to you about it. It's kind of like if all the folks has got grown kids. You know that. You kind of already know what the kid needs to do, but you need to talk it out with them. And you need to make sure you're all on the same page. Make sure they understand. Maybe they got questions. And you know, maybe you got questions with God. God already knows, but He wants to talk it out, just like a dad would with kids. So we're into this mode of our needs. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. And see, you got to know this. You learn this through Jesus, that God's in the business of giving and forgiving. That's two of the great things He does for us. He gives and He forgives. And there's no end to it. His mercy endures forever and ever. I like it. And then this lead us. We're in great need of leadership and guidance. And this deliver us. We'll get to those a little bit later. So the prayer begins with us addressing Father and dealing with Father's kingdom and his desires. And then it comes into this idea of our needs. All right, so now, give us this day our daily bread. So let's talk about daily bread. Daily bread. Give us today what we need for today. And you know, this is kind of where we get the idea that this prayer is really kind of meant to be a daily part of our lives, or at least the concepts or the ideas discussed in this prayer are to be a part of our daily life and our daily prayer and our daily interaction with God, right? So it's a daily thing, right? And God wants to talk to you every day. He's not just a weekend visitation guy. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people give God weekend, they give Him Sunday, but they want Monday. Or they give Him Sunday, but they want Saturday and Friday at the river, that kind of deal, you know. But it's not supposed to be like that. Give us today. It's an everyday thing. Now notice the us in it. What was it? Give us this day, right? And you saw us a lot. Us is throughout the prayer, right? So talk to me just a second. Why would Jesus want us to pray us and not me? It didn't say give me. Nah, you're not sinning if you pray, bless me, give me, help me. You're not praying. You're not sinning if you do that. But why would Jesus say, I want you to train your mind like this? Why would He say, I want you to train your mind, give us, forgive us?
Learn to pray for each other.
That no man is an island. And this is not a me and Jesus got our thing going on. You know, there's a couple songs written about that. It ain't about me and Jesus. It's about us and Jesus. And that's a different thing. That's we're part of a nation of people, a holy nation, He says. We're part of this priesthood of believers. We're part of this family. We're part of this kingdom. It's not just you. God's got a whole bunch of kids, doesn't He?
And we're to be mindful of one another and to pray for each other's needs and to not just be, you know, because, I mean, we're living in a day, it's always been a problem, but, you know, with all the personal cell phones and the personal headphones and all this personal stuff we got, I mean, you literally can live your life today with hardly any human interaction if you choose. You just put in, you got your music, it's my world, it's what I want to hear, I don't want to hear nobody else, and when I pull them out, I'm going to bed. We're kind of wiring ourselves like that even more so. I mean, we always had selfish problems, but it's kind of getting really, really, we got our terminology. I mean, you know, people, you know, I'm going to get in trouble here, but people take pictures of themselves all the time. My goodness. I mean, I'm an old man, so it just, it's like, you know, we're living in this selfie world. It's like, you know, they got the taco. It's like, I'm eating the taco. It's like, and they put this stuff on Facebook. Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to offend everybody. But, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you, we really think everybody's into us. Into me. And I'm into me more than I need to be into me. And Jesus says, you don't need to be into me, you need to be into us. And that changes the game a little bit, doesn't it? To where we become more mindful of people. I didn't mean to offend anybody, but if it offended you, check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, anywho. Oh, my daughter's, it's the worst, but it's all right. They're not going to listen to this, so it's okay. I can talk about them. All right, so remember that. Now, you're not sinning if you pray me, but Jesus has something in mind for us, that we keep each other at heart. And now, see, you're included in the us, but if you just go me, you ain't talking about us. You see what I'm talking about? It's just kind of broadening your horizons a little bit, just beyond the mirror, okay? All right, no, the us. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pick up two more words, kind of like what we've been doing. Let's pick up this idea of dependence and provision. Give us this day our daily bread speaks of dependence, doesn't it? And it speaks of God providing. It's a faith that I have that God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us and me too. Dependence and provision. Acknowledging our dependence on God. That's really important. That's kind of what we're doing when we pray this. We're acknowledging that we are dependent. There's a relationship that the scripture uses time and time again talking about God and his people. And it's the shepherd-sheep relationship. And you know what the sheep relies on the shepherd for? Oh boy, say everything. 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 Food, protection, care, you name it. The sheep relies on the shepherd. It's one of my favorites, you know, Psalm 23. It kind of goes through that kind of idea of what it's like to be a sheep with God as a shepherd. We'll do some extensive teaching on that. That's my favorite. And we've got some great times in Israel watching shepherds in that land. And it's amazing stuff. I can't wait to teach on that. But this idea of acknowledging God is in charge and I'm dependent upon him, that's important. That's part of this prayer. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, we have all declared our independence from God. All the sheep have gone their own way. That's what Isaiah said, right? Each one's gone to their own way. So this is not, now instead of me declaring my independence from God, I'm doing just the opposite. As an act of faith, I am saying, God, I'm dependent on you. I need your help. I need you to help me. And it's not some kind of ego trip for God. That's reality. You need God's help. All right? So, Jesus, if Jesus said this, apart from God, he could do nothing. He said, apart from my Father, I can do nothing. If Jesus said that, where's that put us? Yeah, we're in that same boat 10 times over, aren't we? We really need God's help. So it's not just about humility. It's more than humility. This is reality. It's coming to grips with the idea that life does not work without God. You get that on page 1 if you read it. God created us. He made us in his image and likeness. He put responsibility and purpose in us. And then it says, and God blessed them. And man is made to live in God's purpose, plan, and blessing. And if you don't live in God's purpose, plan, and blessing, it don't go good. From Genesis 3 on, that's what happened. We broke away from God's purpose, plan, and purpose. We broke away from all of that. See? So we're declaring our dependence again. All right? Now, let's do this. Let's get some scriptures. I need some readers. Anybody want to read James 1:17 for me? Anybody?
I'll take it.
You'll take it, Diane? All right, Psalm 23:1. Anybody? That's the easy one. You want to do that one? You can quote that one probably. Deuteronomy 8:17-18. Anybody? You want to do Deuteronomy 8:17? Who wants to do Psalm 121:1-3? That's the longest one. Paula, you want to do that? No, Jimmy will do it. I got you last time. All right, so listen to these passages. They just talk about our dependence on God and how important that is. All right, who's got the James 1:17? Dan?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change.
All right. So what do you have that God gave you? Everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. That's a whole nother phrase, the Father of lights. He's tying it back to creation over there. Every good and perfect gift, everything you got. I mean, we're just absolutely tied to Him. We need Him. We need to take time to thank Him for those things too. All right, who's got Psalm 23:1?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd. I am absolutely 100% tied to Him, dependent on Him. I'm hugging His leg. I'm there. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to walk with Him. And because I have this relationship with my shepherd, I'm okay. And I don't have any lack in my life. Isn't that something? David's saying, I'm 100% dependent on God. Right, to feed me, lead me, guide me, protect me, everything. Who's got this Deuteronomy 8:17-18? Sandy, you got that?
He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant He confirmed to your ancestors with an oath.
So we're dependent on God even for the... See, He said, don't you come up here talking about, I did this, I got this, I made this, I'm all that. Don't come in here telling me you got all this power to get your wealth. He said, you didn't do it with your own strength. He said, I want you to remember when you come into this blessing that I am the Lord your God who gives you power to gain wealth and prosper. Any blessing you have, it came from God. Now, your check may come through the oil company, but that's just an avenue He used to get it to you, right? It all comes from Him. He's the one that gives us, and He gives us the power. What does that mean, the power? Well, He gives us the intelligence. He gives us the network, the connections, the strength. You know, just the ability to deal. You know, that kind of deal. It's God that gives us the power. So we're just dependent on Him. And He says, so when you come into your blessing, don't you forget that. Don't you get all haughty and high-minded. There ain't no such thing as a self-made man in the kingdom. A self-made woman in the kingdom. There ain't no way. It don't happen like that in the kingdom. It's all he helped us, right? All right, 121:1-3. This is one of my favorite prayers, actually, right here.
I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
All right. I like it. God ain't going to take a nap on us, is it? Where does my old boy said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He's looking towards Jerusalem, is what he's looking towards. And he said, that's where God lives. And my help comes from God. That's what he's saying. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that just kind of makes me take a deep breath. Well, if he made all this, I'm going to be all right. You know. All right. So it's this idea of dependence. I just wanted you to see some of those, and we could go on another dozen or two. All right. So. Now, this idea of asking. So we're asking, give us this day our daily bread. Asking. You know, asking is an act of faith. Asking is an act of faith. You know? You know, Glenn, you know why I'm not going to ask you for $1 million?
No, I ain't got it.
we just ain't got it, do we, bro? We ain't got it. We're good, but we ain't got that, right? So I'm not going to come and ask somebody for something they don't have. So when I'm coming to God and ask Him something, that's an act of faith. Because I am actually saying, I believe you can do this and I believe you can help. And that's why Jesus said, when you come, ask in faith. Don't doubt. Ain't no reason to doubt. Read the book. Think about your life. Get with some saints and hear the testimonies. No reason to doubt now. So we ask and we believe. All right? So, asking, you believe God can. You believe God cares. That's why we're asking. Now, if I know you're pretty upset with me and don't like me, I'm probably not going to ask you for nothing. Except to leave, maybe. You know? But asking is an act of faith. It's insinuating, God, I believe you care about my life. You know? You believe God is a rewarder for those. That comes out of Hebrews 11. You believe that God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him. That's faith. God rewards people. He's good about that. He's a good dad. All right? So this asking and trusting is believing that God's provision will be there when you need it. That's trusting. Be there when you need it. He's right on time. All right. These two little phrases right here. Prayer is meant to keep your needs from becoming anxieties. We got a problem with that, don't we? Sometimes it gets tight. It gets rough. And the heart gets anxious. You know, and I come from a long line of worriers. Anybody like that? I mean, my folks worried to death. And my grand folks, man, they worried. They were always worried about us kids. My grandmother literally worried herself sick over stuff. You know, if you didn't answer the phone when she called, she just assumed you was in the ER laid up with your leg falling off. Anybody like that? You know about that kind of deal? And my mom's a little bit like that, you know. There was a joke not too long ago. It said, I'm assuming the search helicopter flying over my house is because I didn't answer your call the last two times. You know, my folks worry. They just worry about us, you know, think about us. And, you know, and some of that concern and care is part of love. But these anxieties we get, they sometimes can hijack our life, can't they? They can take over. And that Matthew chapter 6, at the end of it, we're talking about seek you first. Jesus is kind of dealing with that worry thing right through there in that neighborhood of scriptures right there. He's dealing with that idea of worry and that idea of anxiety. And he basically says, don't worry about it. I got you. Look at the birds. I'll take care of them. You got to at least have bird faith. You got bird faith? I hope so. Now, prayer is meant to keep your needs from becoming anxieties. So when you feel that thing start swelling up in your belly and swelling up in your throat, it's time to talk to Father about it. It's probably past time, isn't it? Faith in God's faithfulness chokes out fear and worry. That's another thing to say. Faith in God's faithfulness. That's the root of all faith, is His faithfulness. And I believe He's going to be faithful. I believe He is faithful. And that begins to choke out my fear. Because God's got my present and He's got my future already. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because He's already there. He's eternal. He's not tied to time like me. He's already there. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. All right? Daily bread. So it's about daily dependence. It's getting God involved in your everyday stuff. In our everyday stuff. Right? Daily bread. I believe it deals with physical bread. I mean, just the stuff we eat. God taking care of our lives on every level. Physical level, but also spiritual. You need spiritual bread, don't you? You need to strengthen your faith. You need encouragement. You need that, what we call Memphis, we need that soul food, don't we? We need that all the time. So it covers the gamut of not, it's not just bread, which bread's kind of the most basic of things, right? But it's also spiritual bread. All right, now, let me ask you. Well, let's go to this right here. Psalm 68, 19. Listen to this. Blessed be the Lord who daily, there's that daily idea again. That's why I pulled this one. Who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Daily. Now, that's interesting when you start finding out that God's engaged with you daily. All right. Now, Let's wrap it up with this idea right here. Is there any daily bread story in the scriptures? Is there any daily bread story in the Bible? Because if you were a Hebrew and you heard Jesus say, "Give us this day our daily bread," your mind would have instantly gone to a massive story in the Old Testament.
Exodus.
Yes, Exodus 16. That's why I told you to read that. So y'all didn't read that. Y'all just got busted. You need to read the stuff I send out now. So it's Exodus. It's the Exodus, right? And now they're out of Egypt at this point. What do you know about the story? Tell me about what story. What do you know about that story? And I got time. I'm gonna drink me some water. Y'all tell me. So they were all tied up, complaining. And God kind of took it personal, didn't he? They were complaining about not having enough, right?
He told them to double it on the sixth day so they'd have something on the
sixth day. Okay, so now we're picking up a little more information. All right, so now what was God going to do? I mean, he said, Moses, you go tell him I'm going to do something for him. What's he going to do? He said, every morning, what's going to happen? Bread's going to come from heaven. I'm just going to rain it down from heaven. And what are they to do? Tell me now. Tell me, or we're going to close the book and we're going to read the story. They had to go gather it up. And they had, how did they gather it up? According to the size of their family, right? So if you had, it says an omer in there, it's just kind of like a serving kind of thing of what they would need to eat for that particular day. And you would go, if you had a family of four, you'd go get enough to feed a family of four. Right? And then it's interesting that daily bread came when? It came in the morning. Maybe Jesus just talked to us, you need to get your bread to eat in the morning. It's when you're going to need the strength to carry on your day, right? So it's not set in stone, but I picked that up in the story. All right, so you're to go get it. So 6 days a week, you go out there in the morning, you get everything you need. But what happens if you get more than you need? It would ruin. You get worms in it, right? More boll weevils or something, you know. You know, maggots or boll weevils or something, you know. I remember one time I opened up a box of Cheerios and had boll weevils in it. It's like, what in the world is this? I guess a little extra. You don't charge me for that much. I said, Lord, that ain't good. You throw it away. It's no good. What was God teaching them on that?
Not to get more than you need.
Not to get more than you need because there's... We're back to us again. It's not me. And then on the sixth day, what do? You get enough for 2 days because you got Sabbath that you don't do any work. And he said, I need you to trust me in all this. You see, this is, you could not, if you were a Hebrew, if you're sitting there listening to Jesus, you're a disciple, a Jewish man, you're sitting there listening to him talk, he says bread, daily bread, and you can't help but think about that story. It's your history. You've spent all kind of time studying it. You know it backwards and forwards. Huh. So now, you go back and you can read more of that story. There's lots more detail. We don't have time to cover all that tonight, but it was a test of trust. You trust God every day. Every day. And that's in the DNA of our scriptures and all the DNA of who we are as God's people. We're not to just trust God on Sundays or not just when we need him in a crisis situation. We are to involve him in our everyday lives and trust him for our everyday needs. That's important. And if you do that, brothers and sisters, you will grow leaps and bounds in your faith. I promise you. Because you're going to find out, not only are you trying to engage God, that he's ready and willing. You know, it's a test of greed. Don't get more than you need. Just get what you got and get what you need, right? It's a test of greed. It says in Exodus 16, God got upset with them because some of them got more than they needed. You know, decide they're going, well, it's Monday. Let's get enough to get us through Wednesday. And how many of you know, we just like that. I mean, I don't want daily bread. I want like a bread truck. You understand that? Give me a bread truck and, you know, I freeze some of it just in case. Just in case George comes over or something, we need a sandwich, you know. I don't want a job. I want to win the lottery. You know, that's what we think. I want to get big. You know, so it's a test of greed. Get what you need. It's a test of community. We talk about that us thing. It's just about us. It's a test of trust. That 6 days is a test of trust. Very much so. It's a test of rest. You're supposed to rest that day.
Some went out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. God was pretty upset about it. You need to rest now. It's a test of obedience and worship, isn't it? All right, so all that. Go back and read some of that story and think about daily bread. What's that? That's right. That, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I'm assuming they get to cook, right?
And what they call that stuff that fell out of hand? Before we get... What they call it? Manna. You know what that means? It's actually a question. The word manna means what is it? They went and picked it up, put it in the bowl and said, what is it?
They ate it for 40 years.
They said, what is it? I mean, it didn't look like anything they were used to. But it had a sweetness taste like honey, and they could bake it and shake it and move it and spread it and do. And they, I mean, you know, Moses' wife released a cookbook that next year about 75 ways to do manna. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. But now that bread from heaven. Now listen to what Jesus says about that story. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, manna. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now listen, they're getting a little tense. What's he about to say? For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to Jesus, Lord, give us this bread always. We want it every day, all the time. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now look at that. You know what? How you get your nourishment with Jesus? Coming to it. There is just something about it. I can't explain it. It's mystical. Can't explain it. Getting in Jesus' presence on a daily basis is bread for your soul all by itself. Now you throw the word in there with that, and now you got a mixture for a great life in the world, in the earth. You hear what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, he's that bread. You know. So maybe, I don't know. Think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe that's, give us your presence, Lord. I don't want to stretch it out of the story. Maybe that could be some of it. It's interesting. The bread that was in the temple was called the bread of presence. So Father's got daily bread for us. Lots more we could say, but let's wrap it up with this. Ask him for it. Ask him. Believe he's got it. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today what we need for today. Tomorrow's going to take care of himself. He'll be there tomorrow too, but just today. So now, practically, maybe it is a material need you have in your life. Maybe it's food you need. I mean, some folks are in that situation. Poverty's a real thing. It applies there, doesn't it? Maybe there's some financial needs. It applies there. Maybe you got some needs for some soul food, some of that encouragement. Or maybe you got a decision that needs to be made. Maybe that daily bread is going to look like wisdom that day, or direction, or a word. I tell you what, this is what I do when I read the scriptures, like on my daily, okay? There's sometimes I follow little devotions or something like that I may have. I usually kind of stay along the same lines as when I'm preaching to you. I just kind of stay in that same vein, so my mind's just full of it all the time. That's why it takes me so long to preach. My mind's just always full. what I do is I keep reading and reading and reading until I know I got my bread. And I don't know how he does it, but the Holy Spirit always lets me know that's what I needed today. I may have to read three pages. I may have to read three words. You know what I'm talking about? But I don't leave there until I've eaten. You know, that's kind of how I do the table. I eat until I'm full. I mean, I'm blessed to have that option. You know, I eat until I'm full. So when I get in there spiritual, the spiritual bread, I just eat until I'm done. Or maybe I'm not done until he's done. And I get my bread. Sometimes that means he wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Seriously. I got to spend a little bit more time eating today. Maybe he's trying to get me something I don't know I need. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Come on, let's ask him to help us. All right, Lord, we're going to trust you in this. Give us what we need today, Lord. We're going to trust you to be there tomorrow when we're going to need other things. Maybe another extra dose of what we got the day before. Thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful to us. You're so kind. You care about us so much. You love us. You give us your spirit to help us. You give us your word, Lord, to feed us. Thank you. Give us your promises, Lord, just to anchor us. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've already proved that in all of our lives already, time and time again. Lord, forgive us where we've eaten out of mud holes and we got more man than we should. We've neglected things when we shouldn't have. Forgive us for all that. And Lord, help us to be trained as your disciples to come to you for everything we need in our everyday stuff. We just thank you for the option that we got. Thank you for opening up that door for us. In your name, Jesus, who is the bread of life and the bread that's come down from heaven. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.